Hi, I'm Indy Samarajiva. I won't call this a podcast because that would insult your ears and intelligence. I'm just going to read a story out loud. This one's called Every Condemnation is a Reading Recommendation. I've learned three things about America since leaving America. The first is that I didn't leave America. It's a big white empire and I'm still stuck in it. The second is that every accusation is a confession. For every finger pointing out of America, a billion middle fingers point right back. The third is to take every condemnation as a reading recommendation. America's enemies list makes for good reading. That's what we'll discuss here. So of things that empire condemns on the regular, let's take Hamas, for example. Western liberals secularly cross themselves before saying they support Palestine while piously disavowing Hamas. These are useless people who preserve the status quo at all costs. Now the status quo is genocide, and they'll feel bad about it later. But in the moment, they're worse than useless. They're useful idiots. As Safuri Orwan said, whoever's in solidarity with our corpses, but not our rockets, is a hypocrite, and not one of us. If to understand Hamas, actually, Hamas is just a moderate political party within Palestine, which has assembled a Palestinian military, which they of all people deserve. Israel has been building facts on the ground, resettlements, and Hamas has been building facts underground, resistance. And I say more power to them. I support Hamas, and the Al-Aqsa flood was righteous. Allahu Akbar. Now, I say Hamas is moderate because I've read about them, Paolo Caridi, and I read their statements on an almost daily basis. If you hear that banging, it's the dog. I don't know why. I think it wants dinner. Anyway, this information is widely available, but Empire counts on most people hearing Hamas and immediately salivating for blood. Hamas is just another Arabic word that they free associate with ISIS or Al-Qaeda, or all the other Pavlovian bells they've rung in the past, when dinner's on for the military-industrial complex. However, if you read a tiny bit, every Arabic word is not actually evil, algebra, question mark, and Islam is a perfectly valid governing philosophy, especially for the checks map, Muslim world. The bigger question is what empire is doing anywhere, at all, and why its village idiots must be unleashed upon the rest of us. For a good secondary source on Hamas, I recommend, as was recommended to me, Paolo Caridi's Hamas from Resistance to Government. As she wrote in 2009, and it's been updated multiple times since, as she wrote then, Hamas is part of the Palestinian social fabric, and one that takes a less radically fundamentalist approach to religion and politics, compared to the Taliban. On the contrary, most of Hamas's leadership and cadres perceive themselves as moderates, centrists, or moderate conservatives. In post-World War II Western European historical and provocative terms, they can be thought of as an Islamic version of the Christian Democrats. For a good primary source about Hamas, you can read Hamas. You can read the Hamas Charter for yourself, or a link to my commentary. And just a segment, which I'll quote, this is point number 16, Hamas affirms that its conflict is with the Zionist project, not with the Jews because of their religion. Hamas does not wage a struggle against the Jews because they are Jewish, but wages a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. Yet it is the Zionists who constantly identify Judaism and the Jews with their own colonial project and legal entity. Point 17. Hamas rejects the persecution of any human being or the undermining of his or her rights on nationalist, religious, or sectarian grounds. Hamas is of the view that the Jewish problem, anti-Semitism, and the persecution of the Jews are phenomena fundamentally linked to European history, not to the history of the Arabs and the Muslims or to their heritage. The Zionist movement, which is able with the help of Western powers to occupy Palestine, is the most dangerous form of settlement occupation, which has already disappeared from much of the world and must disappear from Palestine. Listening to that, just tell me what's radical or wrong there. Imperial talking heads keep talking shit, saying read the Hamas Charter, confident that few people will actually do it. If you read the Charter, which has been updated as their political thinking has thankfully evolved, it's actually imminently reasonable. If you want to follow Hamas on a daily basis, you can follow Trap God Abu Obeida, who is the Al-Qassam military wing spokesman. You can follow him on Telegram, but he's busy writing history and doesn't update much. You can follow the Hamas political wing's press releases via the Resistance News Network, which publishes their statements regularly. Here is one statement at random. And oh God, I don't want to read this. Okay. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. The announcement today of the martyrdom of two of our people kidnapped from Gaza in the fascist occupation detention camps under brutal torture, one of whom was Dr. Adnan Albarsh, the head of the orthopedics department at Al-Shifa Hospital, who was abducted by the Israeli forces while performing his duty at Al-Awda Hospital in the north of the Strip, is a confirmation of the horrific war crimes that continue against our people. including detained sons whom the criminal occupation forces kidnapped from schools and hospitals to detention centers, devoid of the most basic human rights, among them doctors whose only crime was fulfilling their humanitarian duty towards their people's wounded and sick. These ongoing crimes against the thousands of our kidnapped people demand immediate action from the international community to criminalize this Nazi behavior, condemn it, and force the occupation to reveal their fate, return them to their families, and unleash the hand of international justice to hold accountable the leaders of the terrorist entity, whose crimes have exceeded all limits, with no regard for international laws, treaties, or human norms. The Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas. Thursday, 23 Shawwal, 1445, after Hijrah. The imperial rebuttal to Israeli brutality, this is me talking again, is but October 7th. But they get all their sources, not even from the Israeli media, which is like, yeah, we shot our own people, but from the even more sycophantic imperial media. The imperial media is full of outright lies like beheaded babies and the rape of white women, which is the traditional dog whistle for a good old-fashioned southern lynching. Hamas gave a detailed a statement after October 7th and published a document called Our Narrative, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. You obviously don't have to agree with it, but read it before condemning it. Hamas notably calls for an actually international investigation, unlike Israel, which has killed more UN workers and international aid workers than anyone else ever. If you treat the blanket and frankly blank imperial condemnations of Hamas as reading recommendations, you might actually learn something. As Malcolm X said, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. Ain't it the truth? Now let's discuss Hezbollah, the axis of resistance to the north. Hezbollah is less mentioned in the media than Hamas. It's just some inchoate bad that people in the imperial core are supposed to fear because it has the word Allah in it. This, of course, baffles me, because if you're Christian or even Jewish, it's the same God they worship. The Quran, in fact, talks more about the prophets Moshe and Jesus than the prophet Muhammad himself. Hezbollah, the party of God, is only mentioned in passing as just generic Muslim baddies with no rhyme or reason to them. This is in the media, not the Quran. If you listen to Hezbollah's leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah's contemporaneous speeches, however, he's eminently reasonable. Nasrallah's speeches are quite an event in the Muslim world. I honestly listened to them at first because I was hoping for a declaration of war on Israel as it began its genocide. But what I got was actually a much more subtle analysis, which had obviously been going on for decades and did not just start on October 7th. As Nasrallah said then, this is in November 2024, as Nasrallah said, yet on our Lebanese front, some claim that we are about to engage in the war. I'm telling you, we have been engaged in this battle since October 8th. The Islamic resistance in Lebanon started operations the very next day after Al-Aqsa flood. Those who claim that Hezbollah should engage swiftly in an all-out war with the enemy may see what's taken place on the border as minimal. But if we look at what's taken place on our border objectively, we'll find it sizable. I assure you, this will not be the end. This will not be sufficient. As the horizon is looming to our fellow Palestinian people and resistance fighters, I say, since the creation of the resistance fighter following the creation of the Israeli Zionist regime, we've been fighting a war of fortitude. We haven't reached a knockout victory. We still need time to be more realistic. We are winning victory by points, not a knockout victory. This is what happened in 2002 and 2006 in Lebanon, and this is what happened with the Gazans, and similarly, resistance fighters in the West Bank, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Fortitude, patience, bravery. This is what we have, and this is our strength. This is what the enemy lacks. This is what the enemy wants. This sort of analysis is actually undigestible by the imperial press because it has so much historical fiber to it. They're used to processed garbage. In the news, everything must be new. Events must be a series of effects without causes, all to justify more meddling, which creates new news. It's a vicious news cycle. In contrast, Nasrallah has actually been resisting my entire lifetime, I'm 41 for your reference, after getting a deep education from the lifetime work of Muslim scholars, not to mention the word of Allah himself or themselves, delivered in clear Arabic nearly 1,500 years ago. Nasrallah is fundamentally a nerd who has been called to war by circumstance. As Nasrallah has said, in spite of my involvement in politics, I was very eager to continue my education, and I still feel that way. I wish someone else were Secretary General in my place, so that I could fulfill this personal desire. Nasrallah is one of the leading thinkers of the Ummah by reputation, but in the White Empire he just has a bad reputation. Following our rule of thumb, however, I took this as a reading recommendation. I dug up a critical edition of his speeches and interviews from 1986 to 2006, edited and published within the White Empire itself. Like the Hamas Charter, the Empire can reliably count on people not reading. Ignorance is bliss, especially for arms executives. The White Empire thus practices censorship by desensitization, simply repeating Muslim sounds over and over until they numb the brain, like chanting a mantra of intellectual mediocrity. There's some fire-breathing stuff in Nasrallah's speeches, I won't lie. But consider the crucible, the decades-long occupation of this land, which has turned scholars into soldiers. That is a crucible that he was formed in. So here's some brimstone for your reference, from a speech Hassan Nasrallah made on May 8, 1998. Despite all these Jewish ambitions, we in this nation say that the dreams of the Israelis have come to an end. The blood that will not be defeated by the sword that has been unleashed in southern Lebanon, western Bekaa and Palestine. Today, this blood is boiling in the veins of Arabs and Muslims. The dreams of the Israelis are over. We promise and warn them that their dreams are over and that the time has come for them to wake from their dreams and face reality, a reality in which people refuse to live in humiliation and view life with the Zionist Jews as nonsense, a reality in which every man, young and old, loves to blow himself up to tear apart the bodies of the invading, occupying Jews. Now here Nasrallah is talking about Jews with all the rhetorical connotations that has to a Western audience. But it's important to remember that anti-Semitism is a Western phenomenon and term. Anti-Semitism is a unique category of racism which is somehow special and different from other racisms because it affects white people. As Hamas said in their charter above, Hamas rejects the persecution of any human being or the undermining of his or her rights on nationalist, religious, or sectarian grounds. Hamas is of the view that the Jewish problem, anti-Semitism, and the persecution of the Jews are phenomena fundamentally linked to European history, and not to the history of the Arabs and the Muslims, or to their heritage. The Europeans literally used Israel as a place to deport the Jews it did not want, collaborating with Zionists who had also collaborated with the Nazis. The whole thing is an elaborate ruse, and you can forgive the Arab world for a few decades of confusion. As a recent martyr poet, Refat Al-Arir, said, "I never met a Jew who didn't want to harm, shoot at, beat, or prevent me from traveling until I was 36 years of age." The fear of anti-Semitism, ginned up by the imperial media, is allayed if you simply read further. Nasrallah is using Jews the same way that I use Americans. This is accurate, but immediately triggers Western audiences who have been conditioned by years of Holocaust propaganda. The Holocaust is, of course, real, but it's really cynical that the White Empire has claimed reproduction rights on the Holocaust, licensed exclusively to Israel. You can see that Nasrallah's use of Jews is rhetorical and not vituperative because of another interview he gave in March of 1998, i.e. 2 months before the fire and brimstone. Therein he said, "Most assuredly, our attitude towards Israel is not an attitude towards Jews or Judaism. Since the West doesn't want to understand that Hezbollah is anything other than an exact copy of Iran, let us consider Iran's attitude towards the Jews. There, they enjoy there all their political, social, economic rights for their citizens and have representatives in the legislative authority. Thus, our war is not against Judaism or Jews, but against Zionism, which created its racial state in Israel." Let us be clear that Islamic intellectualism and religion have throughout Islamic history never laid the foundation for a hostile attitude against Judaism and Jews. The war between ourselves and Israel is a war against Zionism and its plans, and not against Judaism as a religion or against those who believe in that religion. This is clear, isn't it? Indeed, Nasrallah, right now, is less radical than people within the empire himself who claim that Israel controls America. This is an anti-Semitic but understandable understanding of power relations, which enables powerful Europeans and their colonial cousins to scapegoat Jews as they historically do. As Nasrallah says today, April 2024. "According to some theories, Israel controls America. No, sir, it is America that controls Israel. The story about the Jewish and Zionist lobby is, forgive me for saying this, a joke invented by the Arabs so they do not have to fight Israel. They do this so that they can go to America, deposit their money there, and establish relations with America, under the pretext that they are establishing an Arab lobby in order to compete with the Jewish lobby. After 75 years, we can see what came out of the Arab lobby. The Arab money is piling up in the American coffers. But that's it." The idea that Jews control America is a conspiracy theory, which is quite convenient to America's actual rulers, property and property holders. The truth that Nasrallah recognizes is that America controls Israel. He that pays the piper calls the tune. White Empire, starting under the British, but I mean middling under the British, this white empire put a Jewish state in the Middle East to divide and conquer it, and it cynically used anti-Semitism to cow criticism. They turned their own sin into somebody else's punishment. It was truly diabolical. The real conspiracy is that white empire unleashed a beaten and traumatized dog to terrify Muslims, not that the dog bites people. The news reports dog bites man, but the real story is man bites dog. Jews are still being used and abused by the white empire. They've made their children into conscripts in Israel, and made all the terrible lies Europeans told about Jews, that they kill babies, that they destabilize nations, come true. This is why Nasrallah correctly berates Zionists now, because the Jews themselves have been divided and conquered, and made empire's fall guys in the oil wars, what I call the Carbon Crusades. Once you're able to take Nasrallah as a serious and non-sociopathic source, you can learn a lot from him. He's a very learned man with a lot of bitter experience. His references go back to when Moses wore short pants. He's one of the best commentators on geopolitics, and he's also making the politics happen himself. Hezbollah has basically destroyed Israel's Iron Dome in the north and largely decolonized the region. And they have a long-term view. His speeches from the 1980s and 1990s still ring true. But you can only really get his story if you step out of the news. So our final reading recommendation is ISIS, so hide your censors. So, okay, now these guys actually suck. I used to read every issue of Dabiq magazine, ISIS's official magazine, for sheer shock and horror. The philosophy of ISIS is as paper-thin as a magazine. They're cardboard jihadis, doing all the depraved shit Americans say that people do. They both attack empire's enemies and discredit jihad in general. Jihad means struggle against oppression, and ISIS just attacks the resistance. If you read Dabiq, its successor Rumia, meaning Rome, that's how far their ambitions spread and how randomly, or Voice of Khorasan, and I say don't read them, these are genuinely horrible, but if you read them, like I have, you'll notice something particular. They're always attacking other Muslims, say Iran, Turkey, Afghanistan, and promoting violence in random places, like the Balkans or France. And they're never attacking the actual enemy in the US and Israel. And these facts are reflected on the ground. ISIS blew up General Soleimani's procession in Iran, this is just last year, or this year. They've gotten funded by America to fight Syria, and when their troops get injured, they get airlifted to Israeli hospitals. So they're basically collaborators. These caricatures of jihadis may sincerely believe what they believe, but they're in practice just the heel on the occupying boot. They always attack empire's enemy, while featuring prominently in imperial propaganda as archetypical brutes. They are in what's wrestling terms called a heel. Just listen to this dumb shit from ISKP, the ISIS Afghanistan spinoff. Discussing the war of liberation in Palestine, they say, it will all be the same whether Gaza and the West Bank are ruled by America's allies or Iran's allies. And it really fucking isn't. ISIS are just like Western liberals. They piously condemn everyone and thus cancel themselves out. Both Western liberals and ISIS preserve the status quo above all. Hence America funds ISIS and Israel evacuates them to Israeli hospitals. Meanwhile, the actual jihadis and Hamas in Iran fight ISIS. This is why ISIS blew up General Soleimani's Remembrance March and attacked Syria, Iran, and the actual axis of resistance. They never really attack Israel, as you must have noticed. ISIS doesn't really belong on America's enemies list, hence our reading list, their empire's ally. So I read ISIS with the same suspicion that I read Bin Laden. I read it with interest, but you have to read it with a mound of salt. Reading ISIS is like reading a CIA fever dream of what they imagine jihad to be. As the great martyr fighter Admiral Akbar said, it's a trap. These are just three examples, and you can basically pick up any word that they repeat over and over, and there's a reading recommendation. I encourage you to read more in depth here. If the word jihad, for example, gives you the willies, read the Quran to see what it's actually about. Jihad is a noble struggle, primarily against yourself in discipline, and only then against those who, as the Quran says, spread corruption in the land. And Islamic governance is just one type of self-government that the white empire tries to discredit. Communism, socialism, and anarchism are also tarred with a thin brush. These words are endlessly repeated as epithets, but never seriously discussed in all the hours of coverage. You can find plenty of reading on these subjects from within empire's ivory castles, however, which is a fascinating phenomenon. The white empire relies not on censoring or burning documents necessarily, but burying them in academia, on distributed podcasts, and blogs like this one. There's simply too much information to disappear all of it, but you can flood the zone with shit, as Trump advisor Steve Bannon said. It doesn't matter if the Library of Congress contains the voice of Hezbollah, the book I was referencing, and Memory TV archives Hamas speeches. Who the fuck is going to hear it? It's quite brilliant, really. Every condemnation is actually a reading recommendation, but it works because nobody reads anything. Now note that I'm not saying read a fucking book. Some of my cousins barely read books, and they're good kids. I'm saying just shut the fuck up if you haven't. Didn't your mother tell you, if you can't say something nice about someone, shut the fuck up? There's a high bar of evidence for speaking ill of someone, and even higher for genociding entire populations. The imperial media, however, just expects people to hear Arabic and bay for blood. One should not be the sort of tortured, traumatized dog, biting people because that's been beaten into you. As the Sinhalese would say, pow, sin. One should aspire to be a good dog, to be loyal and friendly. And this is possible. Humans can unlearn white supremacy and even human supremacy, which are just different spots on the same continuum. It just requires empathy. Also note that I do not mean empathy as in mindless loving kindness towards everyone. I mean empathy as in understanding someone else's perspective. If you read into it, the Middle East is not naturally violent, it's just been violently colonized. The imperial media discusses the Middle East endlessly, but never questions what they are doing in the first place. 95% of problems in the region will be solved if the other regions, wink wink, fucked off from their meddling. Empathy, as in putting yourself in someone else's shoes, means understanding the ancient law of an eye for an eye, which is why violence begets violence. Now, the Quran, I would say, says it is better to forgive, but I mean, this is understandable. And it says that if you are attacked, you have the right to fight back, as is reasonable. Understanding empathy in this, I'd say, nuanced sense also means understanding the rule of love your neighbor as yourself, which is why the genocidal apartheid state of Israel has to be demolished for Jews, Christians, Muslims, commies, etc. to actually live in peace and not in a region divided piecemeal by oil thieves. Now, I'm not saying you need to agree with empire's enemies. To be honest, I agree with most of them. But you need to respect them, especially if you consider them enemies. As Maser Rackham said in Ender's Game, there is no teacher but the enemy. No one but the enemy will tell you what the enemy is going to do. I would add that often, as in the end of Ender's Game, spoiler alert, the enemy is not your enemy. In reading, you can find many friends in history, which is a blessing. One redeeming thing about White Empire is that its enemies list is such a great reading list. Every condemnation is a reading recommendation. Holla, this is indie.ca. You can read more on the website. Tell me if I should do more of these. It's not that hard.